The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs programs is Tom Williamson of KIIC Radio in Albia and Kyle Oker of the Knoxville Journal-Express. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, your office, just as of yesterday, sent a press release regarding efforts to hold the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the CMS, more accountable and to ensure that they really identify fraud. What's the extent of the issue here? And it seems really complicated, Senator, so can you kind of walk us through what's the potential here for damages?
I don't know whether I can answer that question for you, but when it comes to waste, fraud, and abuse, there's an awful lot of it in Medicaid and Medicare, and a lot of it's recovered through a bill I got passed in 1986 called the False Claims Act. Out of $53 billion that's come back into the federal treasury under the False Claims Act, $31 billion of it has come from the medical industry, particularly pharmaceuticals. But we're trying to get a handle on these prices, and this is an investigation that I'm initiating to get to the bottom of it and find out why they're not leveling with us and carrying out their decisions on the prices of certain drugs.
And by them, you mean the CMS?
You got a follow-up. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
By them, do you mean the CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Kyle.
Okay. We're currently doing some reporting on mental health in Iowa. Obviously, a lot of our reporting is on the state level, but on the federal level, what is kind of your view on the mental health situation in Iowa, specifically the availability of care to its residents?
Well, I'm going to have to answer more on a national basis because I don't have anything to do with what's going on in Washington except to the extent that there are a few programs that will supplement what's going on in the 50 states, but there's no program that's totally financed. So I would first of all point out legislation that we passed just before Christmas that had a lot of work done on it over a period of 3 or 4 years that I think will help to some extent, but it's surely not an answer, because the answer is more people in psychiatry and psychology, and it doesn't seem to me that people are going into those specialties like they used to, and what can we do to get more personnel out there? Now, with the shortage of personnel, I think that one of the things we're going to have to do is make more efficient use of the people that are in the profession of psychiatry, and we've got to facilitate that through greater use of what you call telemedicine, or I suppose you could call it telepsychiatry, but it's all one and the same. Then in regard to Iowa, I think I have to point out two things that really don't answer your question, but I think they need to be a part of the answer when you just speak about Iowa. Nothing I've had anything to do with, but don't forget that 4 or 5 years ago, Iowa reorganized its mental health system. I think there were some growing pains from that. And then within the last year, because a lot of mental health payments come through Medicaid, and the privatization of Medicaid in Iowa has brought more problems along. These are problems that will be worked out, but I think that makes the situation maybe a little bit different in Iowa than maybe some of the other 50 states, and not really anything that I can solve in Washington, D.C. Back to Tom.
Senator, it's almost April, end of April, and we have not yet confirmed a Secretary of Agriculture for the U.S. Sonny Perdue is a nominee. How does that affect the USDA as an organization, and when do you look for him to be confirmed?
Yeah, well, I believe that he will be confirmed with an overwhelming vote 5:30 Monday when we get back. The absence of that is partly related to the fact that this guy that was born on a family farmer and became a veterinarian and then got into the grain transportation and grain storage business, he had a lot of business that he had to relinquish, probably sell, probably put in a blind trust, and he was a long time getting that done. So I don't know whether this is one of the things I can blame on to Trump or blame on to, well, Trump can't be blamed because he made the selection a long time before the inauguration. But and I can't blame the Democrats, but it just took a while for him to meet all the ethics rules of conflict of interest that he had to do. I think the only place where this late confirmation would make a difference is if we were working on a farm bill. But we're just beginning to work on a farm bill, so I don't think it's done any harm at this particular point, not to anything that I can point out. In the meantime, I think he was pretty sure that he was going to be Secretary of Agriculture. He can't take any official actions, but whatever takes for him to get up to speed, I think by the time he's sworn in, he will be up to speed because he's been in Washington most of the full time learning about all the responsibilities of the secretary.
Thank you, Senator.
Kyle. Kind of on another nomination, Pella native Rachel Brand is obviously up for the United States Associate Attorney General. Her nomination obviously cleared the Judiciary Committee. What's the status of that? When was it going to come to a vote?
On the Solicitor General?
For the Associate Attorney General, Rachel Brand.
Oh, yeah. It's a little more controversial than I thought it would be because she's a pretty low-key person. All the Democrats voted against her in the committee. I think she'll get some Democrat votes on the floor of the Senate. But and I can't give you a reason why it's become somewhat partisan because she's well qualified. She's from Pella, Iowa, as you may know, and she will be approved. She may be filibustered, which is going to take another day to, if we have a round-the-clock session, because there's 30 hours after you stop debate. It may take a while to get it done, but she's going to be approved in the end.
Okay. You think that's going to come up after you guys return from your recess then?
Yeah, but maybe not the first week. More the second week.
Okay.
Okay, back to Tom.
You've served in the U.S. Senate now for 37 years, and you've not missed a vote. Is that correct?
Yeah, not missed a vote since 1993. So between 81 and 93, I missed a few votes. But I've got the longest voting record of any senator in the history of the United States at 7,900. I haven't cast the most votes of senators because some senators have cast 13,000 that are dead cast 13, 14, 15,000 votes, and I probably only have cast 12,000, but I've cast 7,900 without missing any. And the only reason I can tell you that I know that that would be the record for the 2,000 senators that have served since 1789 is because somebody that's a historian came up to me and said, "Do you realize you broke Bill Proxmire's record?" This would be about a year ago that person told me that, and he was in the Senate from 1958 to 88. Anyway, he went 22 and a half years without a vote, so I've gone about 23 now. So if he had the record then, I have the record now.
Well, congratulations. That's reassuring. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Back to Kyle.
Yeah, my next question is on the VA, which, you know, in Knoxville is a pretty hot topic. The President Trump signed extended the short gap services for veterans to go outside the VA medical system for care. What is kind of your view on the VA and what could be on the roadmap for dealing with the VA?
Well, I'm not on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and I'm told that there will be a lot of good reform come out of that committee sometime later this year. And I presume I would be supportive of it, but I better wait till I read it to make a final decision. In fact, I don't even know what direction they're taking at this point. But I did vote for some reform in 2014, but quite frankly, it hasn't been carried out or had the results that we hoped. So we're back to the drawing board. So in the meantime, before passing any legislation, I'm sure hoping that the new secretary will make a lot of changes and that the president will promote those, back those changes up and get them done quickly. The basic thing is we need a culture in the VA where whistleblowers are going to be respected and listened to. Right now, they're disrespected. They're not listened to. And then when they have to come to Congress, because nobody within the VA will listen to them, then they become what we call whistleblowers under the law, and they have some protection under the law. But quite frankly, they ruin themselves professionally. And let me give you just one example that was recently in the news that ought to just turn your stomach. There's a medical doctor that's been with the VA a long time. He was a whistleblower. I don't know exactly what he reported that was wrong. But in the last year, drawing $250,000 a year, he's had to come to his office, but he's never seen a patient. So that's how they treat you when you're a whistleblower. And they ought to be treated as patriotic citizens.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom and Kyle, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.